Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring pastors anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through pastors teaching and preaching, and that you will build up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
Sometimes we say, oh, the fear of the Lord, how can that be joyful? How can you joyfully fear someone? Isn't that an oxymoron? To fear somebody and be happy about it? To fear someone and be joyful about it? Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but I feared my dad. I feared him in that I knew that if I did something wrong, my dad was going to take me on the carpet. And he only had to spank me one time in my life. And just that look from dad, I knew I didn't want another spanking. But I also knew that dad loved me enough that he kept me clothed, kept me fed, kept me warm, and put up with me. Because I was a handful. So I was one of those hyperactive kids before they invented ADD and all these other strange diseases. My parents just sent me outside and said, go play. I didn't have video games or anything else. They said, go outside and play. When you collapse and are ready for bed, come on in. But what does he say here? He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and fear of the Lord has blessings with it. Just like loving the Lord, it has blessings with it. This says that he has given them meat. In other words, he's cared for them. And God knows, because they fear him, that he won't forget his covenant with them. He won't forget his word to them, because they fear him. So the way you have to look at the fear of the Lord is like looking at a dad. We call him Abba Father, which basically means Father, Father, loving Father. The way you look at the fear of the Lord is the same way you should look at the fear of your parents. You know that if you do something wrong, they're going to take you on the carpet. But you also knew that when you do something right, they rewarded you. I don't know about you guys, but when I was a good kid, which was seldom, my parents rewarded me all the time. Didn't happen too often, but when it did, you know, I was good every so often. And when that happened, my father and mom would reward me. I had a good, loving, respecting fear of my father. And that's what we need with our Lord. He says that we will be cared for. He says that I will give you meat if you fear me. He says I won't forget my covenant. He says that this is the beginning of all wisdom and understanding. You want to understand what's written in this book? Fear the author. Fear the man that wrote it. Fear his father. Because every one of the authors of this book either say that they got their words and wisdom from the Lord or from his father directly. You want to understand this? You want the wisdom of these scriptures to be open to your mind? Fear the Lord. It's the beginning of all wisdom. Who is the wisest man in the world? Solomon. What happened to Solomon? And why did it happen to Solomon? First off, what happened to Solomon? Everybody knows the story, don't we? Solomon had everything. He was the wisest man in the world, and what did he do? In his old age, he decided to try everything he could, didn't he? He decided to try alcohol, decided to try food, decided to try women, decided to try drugs, decided to try other gods, decided to try every single thing he could do to make himself happy. Now, why was that? Do you think if he had held on to that native fear of the Lord that he had at the beginning, that would have happened? Because what did Solomon say when the Lord came to him and said, "What do you want? I'll give you anything." He said, "I want wisdom to rule your people." Now, I don't know about you guys. Maybe I would now. But when I was Solomon's age, if God had showed up on my doorstep and said, "Hi, how you doing? I'm going to give you anything that you ever wanted. Just ask." You know, it's kind of like a game show. Name one thing and I'm going to give it to you. I wouldn't even have thought of wisdom. Of course, at Solomon's age, I wasn't afraid of God either. See, Solomon had been brought up to fear the Lord. And so Solomon knew what to ask for. Because Solomon knew, just like when you go to Daddy, when you're a kid, and you're in Walmart, and you say to Daddy, "I want that candy bar," the odds are Daddy's not going to give you that candy bar, but he's going to tell you no, in no uncertain terms. And if you ask him too many times, he's going to give you a little bit of a trial before you understand. Solomon knew that. He had that innate fear of God. And when God showed up at his doorstep and said, "Solomon, what do you want?" I'm sure that went through Solomon's mind. Let's see, riches? No, Dad had those and he got in trouble. Power? No, Dad had that, he got in trouble. I'm ruling with wisdom. And God said, "Because you asked the right thing, I'll give you everything." But Solomon took his eyes off of that fear. He no longer feared God supreme, and he started trying other things to make himself happy. And when you do that, that's when you get into trouble. Whether it's at your job, whether it's at the church or anything, the minute you take your eyes off of fearing God, it's the supreme, beginning of all knowledge. It's the help that perfects our holiness. If we look in Psalms 10:27, we have a promise of long life for fearing God. We're told in Psalms 14:22-27, that it's the fountain of life. Proverbs 14:27. It's the fountain of life. So promise, if we fear the Lord, He'll take care of us. He won't forget His covenant. We'll have long life. And not only that, the fountain of life. What do you think Solomon meant when he said the fountain of life? Because he just said a couple of chapters before in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord bringeth on long life. So what did he mean by the fountain of life? What happens in fountains?
Bubbling over.
Water comes out. Bring it up. Old Testament. Every Old Testament is a type of the New Testament. What did Jesus say He was? "I am the living water in which you shall not drink and get thirsty again." See, Solomon knew. He said, the fear of God is fountains of life. See, there's so much in the Bible. The fear of God brings you and I into a joyousness that we can't understand. We can only equate it to the love we had for our fathers. And I don't know about you. I had a good childhood. I drove my parents nuts, but I had a good childhood. But there was a joy in me when I was around my dad. My dad was my hero. My dad made me feel good. My dad made me feel loved. My dad made me feel protected. My dad knew how to do what dads do to make me feel cared for. And I had that fear of my dad, though. And see, that's what God's talking about, fear of the Lord. When we have that fear of our Father in heaven in the same realm, we don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to fail Him. We don't want to fall away. We don't want to sin. We want to do what's right in His sight. But we should also have that fountain of life in us. If you are not happy and joyful, then you need to re-examine Because Jesus said, I come to make life more abundant. So to make life more abundant, we have to do the same thing Jesus did. Study the Gospels and point out one place to me where Jesus did not give his Father credit. One place where Jesus said, I did it. It's all of me. I healed him in my name. What did Jesus do? He had a deep respect and love for his Father in that his Father got credit for everything, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've heard me, you've heard his words, because I speak nothing but what he tells me. If you've seen a miracle, you've seen his work, because I don't do anything he doesn't tell me. Jesus is our example. Jesus is the example that you and I have to absolutely, totally rely on. And if we look at that, Jesus loved the Lord. But he also had a reverent fear of his Father, didn't he? Because he knew that no matter what was going on, it had to be his Father's will. It had to be his Father's will. Not mine, not Kathy, not pastors, but the Father's. And that's what a fear of God is. He's got many promises. If we read in Proverbs 19:23, he tells us that we won't be visited by evil. If we have a righteous fear of the Lord, we won't be visited by evil. Why is that? Is there a reason why we wouldn't be? That's exactly it. How many times did we get ourselves into trouble as kids and went running into mom's arms or into dad's arms for protection? I know I did. I get lost or something else. You look at Cruz. Cruz gets into a problem. He doesn't seek me out. He doesn't seek Tito out. He comes running to mom and dad. He does something wrong, knocks something over, somebody goes, Cruz, with that particular tone of voice. Twang! We know where he's headed. That's why we're not visited by evil, because we should, every time evil comes anywhere near us, be running for the arms of Abba Father. We should be running, not walking, running. You guys want to have a relationship with his Son, you have to have a fear of the Father. I know we don't really think of it that much, but the fear of God is something that's very important. Go through the Bible and just look at the fear of God. We're even told in the New Testament how important the fear of God is. Paul says over and over again, I come to you humbly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for the fear of God. Because Paul, he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus showed up. He said, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? Now, that right there would ruin my day. I mean, knowing me, that would be it. I would be like Paul. I wouldn't be able to answer and say, who are you? That'd be it. I'd be gone. But Paul said, who are thou? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus Christ. See, Paul had a reverence for God, a deep abiding fear of his Heavenly Father. He knew beyond the Scriptures that there was much, much more there than just, oh yeah, I've got a fear of God. Well, no, we have to have a fear of God. We have to have the fear of God to know that if we don't, we're going to end up in hell. And the few visions that I've read about hell, it's not a pleasant place to be. It's not somewhere that I didn't want to send even my worst enemy. But we have to face the fact that this Bible is very plain, very clear on many things. There is no new covenant or old covenant. There's the Word of God. The Word of God from the Old Testament confirms everything in the New Testament. The Word of God in the New Testament stands out to tell us about the Old Testament. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. But we are covered by the blood of Jesus because Jesus listened to what His Father said and came down and died for you and I. If Jesus had been like most of the young people today, Jesus would have looked at His Father and gone, "You, I'm not dying for them people down there." And where would we be? Yes. But we wouldn't even care or know. Where would we be? We'd be having an altar here in the middle of this church, and this would be the Holy of Holies, and you people would still be bringing doves and goats and pigs, well, no pigs, but sacrifices to the priest, wouldn't you? But Jesus loved His Father so much that He said, "Okay, Dad, I'm going. I'm going, Father. I'm going to go do what Your will is." Now, He's our example. If we can't love God so much that we can fear Him in awe, in total awe, then we've got a problem. For a minute, close your eyes and try to think of something that's never been thought of. Just spend a minute trying to think of something that's never been thought of. I'm going to bet you can't do it. You know, I've come up with all kinds of wild inventions in my days. Man, I could build things. My mom wanted to sell me to the toy companies. Because she'd buy me a toy, I'd take it completely apart, have a bunch of pieces left over, put it back together, still work perfectly. So she always threatened, "You know, I'm going to sell you to those toy companies. They can make money off of you." But, you know, I can't think of one thing that was never here before. Everything we have has already been here. Electricity was here. Cell phones were here. Everything was here. We just finally got smart enough to put it together. There's only one person in the Trinity I know that can conceive of something that wasn't here. And that's our God. To me, that's worthy of fear. Because I can't. If I ever feel that I'm getting too big for my britches, I just close my eyes and try to think of something that didn't exist. And I can't do it. I'm going to close with Proverbs 8, starting in verse 17. And this is about the love of God. "I love those loving me, whose diligently seeking they will find me. Riches, honor, and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. My incense of choice silver. The way of righteousness, I walk firmly in the midst of the paths of the just, in order to bestow real substance upon those loving me. I will fill their treasuries." God shows us that if we love Him and we fear Him, that He will take care of us. You don't have to want. There may be a reason why He's testing and trying you, but you don't have to want. The Bible never says that you and I will be millionaires. The Bible never says that we're going to be rich beyond our richest dreams. But He says right here, even in Proverbs, about just us loving Him and seeking Him. "You diligently seek, you will find. Riches and honor and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my increase of choice silver. In the way of the righteous, I walk firmly in the midst of the paths of justice, in order to bestow real substance upon those loving me, and I will fill their treasuries." What does Paul say about faith? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and not seen. So that means that spiritual things, as Paul says, we see through a dim glass. We see as through a dim mirror. We see partially. They don't have substance, does it? So I don't care what one pastor says. You can't pick your faith up and put it on a scale and measure it. It's spiritual. It is not material. Faith is in here and in here. It is not something that you can pick up and say, "I have 4.37 pounds of faith today." It just doesn't happen. But he says here that If you love Him and follow Him, He will what? He will bestow real substance. You and I live in the world, don't we? What's the only thing we know of real substance? Something that's physical. Something that you can tangibly touch. Spiritual things don't have a real substance. You feel them in here. You know they're in here. When the Spirit comes upon you, you feel it. You know it. But you can't take it out of your heart and put it in a bowl. You can't say today, I've got a half a gallon of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday I had a whole gallon, but I burned up some of Him, so I've only got a half a gallon. You can't do that. Because it's on a separate plane. God tells us here, and He tells us in Proverbs about fearing. If you love Him, and you fear Him, and you follow His laws, you follow His ordinances, you follow His precepts, and walk the way He wants you to walk, He's going to add upon you real substance. You're going to find Him, and He's going to add substance to your life. The things you need. Now don't get me wrong, you don't need two houses. You don't need a brand new BMW. The things you need, He will add to you in substance. He will give you those things. He will clothe you. He will feed you. He will give you what you need to do the work for Him that you have to do. He will take care of those needs if you seek Him and love Him and fear Him. Now, I'm not going to say He won't overflow you, because I know people He overflows and they're generous back. But the Bible doesn't say He's going to make you a millionaire anywhere. But He says He's going to take care of you in the way that you need taken care of. And I can tell you right now, if you can handle $1 million, if you can handle $1 million for the kingdom of God, you'll end up getting it. But most of us don't get that $1 million because none of us can handle it. Solomon said, the root of all evil is the love of money. See, God knows what you and I are worth. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can do. And if you look at the people with lots of money, there aren't too many that are following God right now. They're following their money. They're following their wealth. They're following their dreams of owning more property or bigger buildings. God will never do that to you. Because He knows what's in here. But I stand on this word. And I claim this word. That God said it, and it will be. You fear Him the way He deserves to be feared and wants to be feared, you will have a longer life. And you won't know about it maybe until you get to heaven. But when you get to heaven, you'll see things opened up. And you might find that because you feared the Lord, He moved the truck out of your path.
That's true.
Or He stopped a coronary from happening.
That's true.
Or He stopped the devil from putting cancer on you. He says you'll have fullness of joy if you fear Him. You won't know about it. But when you get to heaven, you'll see. Your life may have been totally different without Him. But because He gave you that, you had that joy you never would have had. He will add sustenance to you. And you may not be able to look at it right now and say, man, I've got all the sustenance I need. I could really use this and I could really use that. But if you look in the mirror and ask yourself truly, as God is your witness, do you need it? If that answer is yes, then He'll add it. But if that answer is no, I don't really need it, don't expect Him to add it. He gives you as you need. He gives you what you need and as you can handle. The three things God will do. He will fill you with His loving joy and care if you fear Him. Jesus said, fear Him that can cast the soul into hell. That's the thing we have to focus on. But God has that power. Don't ever, ever, ever get to the point where you say, I've got it made with God. I know His pulse. I'm His right-hand man. I know the way He thinks, and I know He'd never send me to hell because I'm good. I'm just so good. And even if you don't consciously say it, if you get to the point where you say, I'm saved, always saved, never have a fear in my life, you just lost your fear of God. And from what I study in the Bible, that's a very, very dangerous plane to be on. Very dangerous. I was saying last week when I preached, we don't hear a lot of hell and damnation sermons. We don't hear too many preachers telling us about going to hell and fire and brimstone and the problems and responsibilities. Well, most of the church today doesn't have a holy fear of God. They may walk into the sanctuary, they may sing pretty songs to the Lord, and they may say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." But then they go out and live in the world without a holy fear of God. And if you don't have a holy fear of God, you're in deep, deep trouble. If someone walks up to you and you know they need Jesus and you won't tell them what Jesus has done for you, you don't have the fear of God. And you know why I say that? Because Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before God. He said again in another gospel, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before the angels. Think about it. Who's in heaven? Angels? God. Holy Spirit's down here. So angels and God. But what did Jesus just tell you? If I bring someone into your life and you don't tell them about me and deny me, I'm going to deny you before all of heaven. It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Righteous fear of the Lord. A love of the Lord and a righteous fear of the Lord. With those two things deep-seated in your heart, you can't go wrong. Don't let the fear of life take away the fear of God. Remember, always, it doesn't matter how old you are, your life in God's time scale is a blink. Even if you live to be 100 years old, you're a blink. Don't let it pass.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.